Welcome to another Marvel podcast. I'm your host, Drew Gretchen. Today, we are talking all about Marvel Studios Hawkeye Season 1, Episode 2, Hide and Seek. This episode was released on Disney Plus on November 24th, 2021, and has a runtime of 51 minutes. The episode was directed by Rhys Thomas and was written by Elisa Clement. Clint Barton desperately wants to get home in time for Christmas, but first he needs to help Kate Bishop disentangle herself from the tracksuit mafia and a real-life murder mystery. Kate, clearly a skilled archer herself, welcomes Hawkeye's guidance. She's a big fan. Clint, however, is an unwilling mentor. He knows that she's no match for the TSM, so Clint will have to take them on again. So, I'm just talking about episode 2. Because it's episode 2, there are spoilers for episode 1. That's obvious, but mostly we're talking about episode 2 today because I already did a whole podcast breaking down the first episode. Now we're going to get into episode 2. And I like this episode a lot more than I liked the first one. Watching these episodes again, I am noticing some more problems. For one, Kate Bishop is just not all that smart. She's just not very bright. And we're only really told that she is so great at archery and stuff. Like, we have the montage of the opening credits in episode 1. And then we see her, you know, take down that clock tower. But episode 2, we're told that she's 2-time state champion for fencing. And she loses in like 4 seconds. You know, I think that the character, you know, I'm not going to say that this is always going to be a terrible character. I'm just saying that the character that we're seeing is inconsistent so far with what we've been told. Maybe she's a Skrull. Maybe Kate Bishop is a Skrull. And that's what happens at the end of the series. Is it all wraps up. We get to the end of episode 6. It all wraps up. Clint can finally retire. And it's revealed again that Clint and Kate have been Skrulls the whole time. And then there's that. I think that would be... with the amount of times that Hawkeye's retired in the MCU, I think... I'm not going to rule it out. I'm going to put it on the board. So, yeah. But getting into my main theory. My main theory for this show. This is one that, like, my friends and I have talked about. Like, we all came up with it on our own, and then we talked about it together. But a theory I'm not really seeing online a whole lot, and I'm kind of surprised by it. Or maybe I'm just looking in the wrong place. But I think that Eleanor Bishop is going to be the main villain. A couple of reasons. This seems like a very safe series. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think that looking at this show and how it's gone so far with these first two and sort of seeing the tone of the series from the trailer, this seems like a really safe Disney Plus series. I don't think it's going to take a lot of risks. It looks like it's just a fun, lighthearted Christmas adventure. This is just a little breather. I think, like, with how much Marvel we've gotten this year, this show is sort of... Hawkeye is just going to be, like, one last breath before the finish line. You're getting to the finish line. You're almost done with the race. And here, just one last big breath to get you across. And finally, like, running through that ribbon and winning the race. That's going to be Spider-Man No Way Home. That is my... that's how I'm going to compare the MCU in 2021. They're just going to call it that. We're going to call it that. But yeah. If it's a murder mystery, and it seems like they're setting up Jack the fiance to be the guy who killed Armand the Third. Then, you know, I think that's even more likely. I think it's even more likely that it'll be like, no, it was this slightly different person. And then it also then brings up, you know, you guys know, I love the shows from Marvel Television. I think, for the most part, those are all fantastic series. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, the Netflix shows, most of the Netflix shows. I even like Cloak and Dagger and Runaways. I thought that Hellstrom was pretty good. It wasn't great, but it was pretty good. Inhumans was awful. And my favorite of those shows is Daredevil. Closely followed by Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but Daredevil, I think, is a better series. And we've heard that Vincent D'Onofrio would be reprising his role as Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin, in Hawkeye. And I don't know. I really don't know if that's going to happen. Because on one hand, Kingpin is the father of Maya Lopez, Echo, who we saw at the end of episode 2. It makes sense. You know, I'm not entirely sure how they're going to handle the, or how they're going to really do the, how Marvel Studios is planning on handling the canonicity of the Netflix series. I have a feeling it's just going to be like, they're not going to contradict them. You know, like, they're never going to contradict the Netflix shows, but they're never going to go out of their way to reference them. Like, when we see Matt Murdock in No Way Home. Speaking of No Way Home. Tickets go on sale Sunday night. If you're in the Chicago area, we are going to try and have a fan screening at a theater. You got to pay for your own ticket, but we're just going to try and, like, get as many of you guys into a theater as we can. We're just going to see how this works. And then maybe we can evolve this over time, but I think that'd be super fun if, like, we can just get a bunch of us in a theater for No Way Home. I'm going to put out a podcast on Sunday morning, or maybe Saturday night, I haven't decided. Just us, you know, thinking about how we're going to do that. I'm going to say what theater it is. It's going to be an IMAX. But yeah, if you're in the Chicago area or if you want to come out, that'd be great. It'd be great. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, we could also go see No Way Home together. So, yeah, but tickets go on sale Sunday night, and they're going to sell it immediately. So, guys, so I'm telling you, like, be on the site at 11 p.m. Central Time for me, because they're going to go fast. They're going to go fast. Friends have already paid me to buy their tickets. So, yeah. So, Daredevil. when we see him in No Way Home, I don't think he's going to be referencing the Netflix universe. Not at all. He's not going to be referencing the Netflix universe whatsoever. And that makes sense here because, spoilers for Daredevil, Kingpin doesn't have a daughter in that series. I believe in the comics she's adopted, but I don't know. They could easily bring that in. They can easily incorporate that. You know, it could be like, and you know, if we are taking the Netflix shows and Daredevil in particular into account as canon, you can say that Daredevil season 3 is still, you know, before the blip. Still before Infinity War. So you can then have, you know, like, everything came crumbling down, and then, you know, Kingpin was like, alright, I can do this all again, can rebuild my empire. You know, maybe Matt disappeared in the blip. Maybe Matt died because, you know, nobody's really died. Like, it's like everyone's either survived or everyone from the Spider-Man movies died in the blip. All the Spider-Man characters died in the blip. It seems like all the Shang-Chi characters survived the blip. We know that Kate Bishop survived, but that's evident by her age. It's evident by her age that that she survived. It's just, you know, I really like, you know, it was half the Avengers. Half the Avengers that died in the blip. It was most of the Guardians. Most of the Ant-Man franchise, except for Scott Lang, who was trapped in the Quantum Realm for 5 years. So, yeah, it's just like, and it's like the same thing I was talking about with the podcast the other day, is I just don't feel like the blip is that big of an event yet. And I feel like they're moving on too quickly to the multiverse. I already feel more connected in what's happening with the multiverse than I ever did to the blip. Because for one thing, most of the characters who died in Infinity War already had sequels announced. They already had sequels announced. So we knew that they were going to come back. It was just a matter of how are they going to come back. You know, are we going to have a 5-year time jump? Just thinking back to the theories, I'm trying to remember what they were, but there was like, they're going to go back in time and undo the events of Infinity War, which I'm so glad they didn't do. So glad they didn't undo the events of that movie. I hate that trope. I think time travel is fine in moderation. And then there's, but they just moved on from the blip too quickly. And now we know what, we have sort of theories about like where multiversal things are going. Like, we know what projects those are going to incorporate. Like, we know No Way Home's multiverse movie. We know that, I mean, Doctor Strange 2 is called Multiverse of Madness. We know that Loki Season 2 is going to continue that thread, as well as What If Season 2. Marvel Zombies, while it's going to be a multiversal story, I don't think there's going to be that much crossover there. It's going to be like, here's a What If, but just like over a full series now. And then, you know, Quantumania is coming out of Loki, hopefully also Loki Season 2. Like, I think it'd be really cool if, like, we see Loki Season 2 end, and then Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania comes out. Which, by the way, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania has officially wrapped shooting. They've wrapped shooting, which is super exciting. They're wrapped on the movie. They got to edit it. They got to do the music, the visual effects. They got to do the reshoots. So, I'm sorry if you guys can hear the dogs in the background. And, you know, on top of that, we have more mystical things, which I have a theory. So I'm going to go into some slight spoilers right now for Eternals. We got super off topic. I'm going to go into some slight Eternal spoilers. If you've not seen Eternals, can skip forward a little bit, but yeah, this is actually kind of a big spoiler for the movie. And also spoilers for Shang-Chi, but again, Shang-Chi is now streaming on Disney Plus, so we're gonna stop giving Shang-Chi spoiler warnings. The movie's been on Disney Plus now for like 2 weeks, so if you haven't seen it now, that's your own fault. So I think that maybe Eternals 2 and Shang-Chi 2 could sort of work hand in hand. Because what if, like, there was an other, was what if there was, like, another Eternal that created the rings? Or maybe Phastos created the rings. I think that'd be cool. I think that'd be cool to see and cool to explore. And I think, like, Eternals 2, Shang-Chi 2 are going to be sort of, like, a mystical, cosmic thing. Like, I think, like, whatever we see, like, I think that the events of Eternals could have some sort of impact on, like, Thor Love and Thunder and Guardians 3. I don't know, because, like, you think about it, and the scope of Eternals was so much bigger than anything that we'd ever seen before. Because it was, like, we met the creator of the universe. I want us to just stop for a moment and just reflect. 3 weeks ago, we met the creator of the universe in the MCU. And now we're talking about Clint Barton buying ibuprofen in a drugstore. You know, people may call that lazy. I call that fleshing out your universe. I love they do that. I love that they do that. That we have things like that in the MCU. You can just have complete opposite stories and everyone can find a Marvel, for lack of a better term, product that they love, you know? And also, I guess it sort of is like a one-size-fits-all sort of deal. You can find something to love in the MCU. Every project is different. They're all different. Yeah, there are similar elements and stuff, and really at the end of the day, they all fall into that comic book genre, but the tone of each film and Disney Plus series is different, and I love that they do that. Love it a lot. Okay, let's move on to talking about Hawkeye now. We got super off topic there. Okay. My biggest problem with the show right now, that's what we were talking about. We were talking about that, my problems with Hawkeye, and then we went into talking about Arishem from Eternals. My biggest problem with this show, and I'm really mixed on this show. I don't know if I like it or not. Right now I'm okay with it. It's definitely my least favorite live action series thus far. If we're judging it on how far we've been in to the shows, like if I'm judging the first episodes of this, compare the first episodes of Loki and Falcon and Winter Soldier and the first three of WandaVision, this is my least favorite so far. That could change. We still have 4 episodes. We still have a good chunk of the series left. But right now, my biggest problem with the show is the tracksuit mafia. I think that Russian mobsters are really fun. In movies and stuff, I feel like I should clarify. In movies, I think that Russian mobsters are really fun. Especially because we usually see them just in, like, all seriousness and everything. It's fun to see a Russian mob that's like this. It's idiotic. And that's my biggest problem with them, is that they are incredibly idiotic. And everything that they do, like, the fact that Clint and Kate haven't taken them out by now is, I think, a little bit ridiculous that they haven't been able to take these guys out so far, because they're so dumb. These guys are idiots. They're like standing in the middle of a New York street. Granted, it's the middle of the night, but still, it's New York street. They're throwing Molotov cocktails into an apartment while screaming, "Hey, Kate Bishop, throw another one, bro. And I know that the bro thing's from the comics. I think that's really funny. But there's this, the guy who's leading them, like, I hope that he's at least a little bit interesting. You know? And Echo looks, she looks great. I'm super excited to see her in the rest of the season, and then in her own Disney Plus spinoff series, like a year and a half. Oh, I got so long until that show comes out. So, yeah, those guys are just really dumb. But one line I really loved here was, you know, you are on the fire, bro, but like a little fire. It was like a little shish kebab fire. I thought that was really funny. That was really, really good. I really love just Clint being a dad. That's, I think, another thing I'm sort of disappointed with by this show so far is that in the trailers, it was kind of sold to us as being, look, we're also going to get to see Clint spend some time with his kids. I love seeing Clint be a dad. It's one of my favorite parts in Age of Ultron. And I, you know, I'm being honest right now. I think that making this show 6 episodes with how Disney Plus formatting works, I think is a pretty big mistake. Because Disney Plus formatting, and we've seen this for 2 years now, since The Mandalorian, since the first season of The Mandalorian, we've seen this, is that episodes, or it's like, you know, we're going to have a Lamentous episode. And that makes sense. That makes sense. But I would, I think, prefer it. Maybe they don't do that. Like, I'm really glad I remember episode 3 of Falcon Winter Soldier. That had, you know, it was set up as like, oh, it's going to be a prison break episode. And then it was not that. We didn't even see the prison break. What we did was like 4 seconds. So it was very different. And you had that whole, you had two whole recap episodes of WandaVision. Two episodes of recap for WandaVision in the middle of the series. I think that those two episodes were great. What I'm saying, right, what I'm trying to say is that I really want two or three episodes of Clint just being Ronan. I think that is super interesting. And they haven't done anything with it yet. We haven't seen any footage of him spending time in the suit or any of that. It's all just been like, we're going to reuse this footage from Endgame. And it's like, they have the suit. They have the suit. Show us more of what he was doing. So, I just really want to see that. Maybe two or three episodes is too much, but at least an episode of him just being Ronan. So I think like 8 episodes for this would have been a little bit better, but that's just me. That's just me. All the Avengers have flip phones for work. I think that's really funny. Just look at really any of the MCU movies. They all use flip phones for work and then like cell phones for other things. Which I guess makes sense. Like, if it's a flip phone call, that means it's important. That means it's a dramatic phone call if you're using a flip phone. I thought that the LARPer convention was amazing. I thought that was the best part of the show so far. Absolutely, that was the best part of the series so far, was the LARPer convention. And Clint just, like... like, the slow motion that they use make it more dramatic. Boss was like a joke. I love it. That was hysterical. I want the deleted scenes. The guy was making sound effects during the, during the trial by combat thing. Which, basically, I hope that's how they do it in, like, The Mandalorian Season 3. Spoilers for the end of Mando Season 2, but when, with the whole Darksaber thing, with how, you know, the Mando has it and Bo-Katan wants it, I hope that they do something like that. They just get Clint Barton in there. yeah. The guy making sound effects was great. I thought that was super funny. Burn the corpse! Burn the corpse! I really like that line. I like that line a lot. Jack is such a caricature. And it's so hard to take him seriously. It's so hard to take him seriously. And I can't, because, like, his mustache is so big. Like, I keep expecting to just see him just twirling it. You know, like, we talk about like, mustache-twirling villains. People have no motivation. They just do evil because they want to do evil. That's what this guy is. Is Jack just has that giant handlebar mustache. You know? Yeah. I don't really like that character at all. I don't think any of the bishops are entirely likable. I mean, I also think that Eleanor killed... Richard, the father, because we didn't see him die in, like, a Chitauri attack. They were arguing about money, which, I mean, if the facts that I'm making up right now serve me correctly. Which, I mean, I do think I've heard this before, that, like, some murders like that are usually about money. So, you know, the Chitauri attack, that's easy to, you know, fake, I guess. So, yeah. What next? Natasha, or Clint, is using Natasha's tactics. One thing I'm kind of disappointed with, and this isn't a knock on the show, because this was just what I wanted. I will never judge a movie or series negatively based on what I wanted to see from it. You know? Like, if Toby and Andrew are not in No Way Home, and I think they're 100% in that movie. I am now fully on board. I fully believe that they are in this movie. I don't think they're main characters. I think they're going to have some great moments. I think they're in the movie. I don't know how much, but they're definitely in the movie. But if they're not in the movie, I may be a little disappointed. I'm not going to be mad, though. I'm not going to be mad because the movie... And they've been telling us. No, they've been lying their asses off about it. You know that. They've been lying to our faces. But if they're not in the movie, we cannot get mad. They've been telling us they're not in the movie. But they are, so it doesn't matter. So yeah. Yeah. Again, with the tracksuit guys, they put the bag on Clint's head, and then Clint just goes, "Guys, I can see through the bag." Like, that's a dumb line both ways. First off, they should have checked to make sure you can't see through that bag. Second of all, Clint shouldn't have said anything. It's a good joke, but when you think about it, it's just a dumb line. It's just a dumb line. I cannot handle how incompetent the tracksuit mafia is. And then Echo looks awesome. Echo looks awesome. Can't wait to see more from her. Can't wait to see Yelena in the series. I just really hope if we do see Kingpin in the show. And I'm about 50-50 on whether or not we see Kingpin. It makes sense. I'm not going to get my hopes up. Because, look, we got our hopes up for Mephisto and WandaVision, and that didn't really work out. Again, we cannot fault the show for that. But then, you know, we got Kang and Loki. And if we're talking about our big theories of, like, Mephisto and Wanda, like, in WandaVision, we're going to see Mephisto. In Falcon and Winter Soldier, we're going to learn that Sharon Carter's the power broker. In Loki, we're going to see Jonathan Majors as Kang. No, we're 2 for 3. We lost in the first one. We doubled down on the second. We got our winnings. We doubled down. Then again, we collected a third time. So, yeah, we'll see. We will see in 4 weeks. 4 weeks. It would be 5 weeks, but we got a 2-episode premiere. That's how time works. It's not 6 weeks, actually 4 weeks between November 24th and December 22nd. So we got 26 days as of recording until we see this big finale, and then we're done with Marvel for the year. How crazy is that? We'll be done with the MCU for the year. So yeah. I'm trying to think if I got anything else to say. Yeah, the show so far is okay. It's okay so far. I'm really glad we got a 2-episode premiere. I'm really glad we got a 2-episode premiere because I think the show needed it. You know, like, we got the 2-episode premiere for WandaVision. And honestly, I think that WandaVision would have survived on a 3-episode premiere. I think if we got those first 3 episodes of WandaVision in the same day, it would have been great. But, you know, they gave us the first 2 for WandaVision, the first 2 for Hawkeye on the same day because they wanted to, like, be, here you go. Just take it. So, is get this foundation you needed. I'm real glad that they did that. I think if we had to wait a full week between these two episodes, it would have been a long week. Not because of how great episode one was, but because I think these episodes just work better together. This is just an easy-to-consume show. It's just a nice, easy-to-watch show, and it's reflected in the runtime of the podcast, that we're not meant to overanalyze any of this. We're just meant to predict about what's happening in next couple episodes, talk about this one, and move on. So, yeah, I would say that right now I am positive. I'm favoring the show positively. And I favored all the shows positively. I'm more mixed on What If. I'm much more mixed on What If. Because What If, I think, is a show where you can look at it more as some of its parts. Where, like, these other shows, it's like, they all build on each other. Where What If, it's like, here's 8 standalone episodes, and then one where they all come together. Yeah, but that's going to be it, guys. That's going to be it. We got a couple more podcasts coming this weekend. I'm reviewing The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Talking about all the news. We got Hitmonkey Season 1 dropping pretty soon on Tuscan Radio this weekend. Michael Badrov and I are going to be talking about Star Wars The Last Jedi. You remember, he was on our Shang-Chi and Take a couple months back. So he's going to be on Tuscan Radio this weekend. Follow us on Twitter at Another Marvel P1. That's the Twitter, Another Marvel P1. And yeah, that's going to do it, guys. Thank you so, so much for listening. I'm Drew Gretsch, and who bought Avengers Tower? That is the question.